This morning's scripture reading will be from the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. That is Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God."
Appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning in Mike's absence. I believe he's in San Antonio this morning and had the opportunity to help congregation there that's installing some elders this morning. And so they had asked him to preach and be with them this morning. Also want to extend a great welcome. Got to meet a number of those who are visiting with us this morning. Certainly thankful that you're here with us. Hope you'll take every opportunity to be back with us, and certainly let us get to know you a little more. And anytime you have questions concerning the things that we're doing, we'd love to answer those with a Bible answer. I want to think about the reading this morning and the very concept. When we think about our world that we live in, it certainly is one that tells us oftentimes to focus on the individual. The world in which we live, so oftentimes we think about now the phrase that oftentimes you think about your truth. Whatever you want to be right is what can be right. Whatever you feel is good is what can be good. Ultimately, it all comes down to what do you think, what do you feel, what do you want. And sometimes even as Christians, we can fall into much the same gap, sometimes thinking maybe the universe ought to revolve around us. What is it that my thoughts want? What are my opinions? What are my wants? What are my needs? And we can become very focused upon the things that we perceive as necessary or desirous for ourselves. Yet, as I've had opportunity to speak before, we've talked about the concept of selflessness. I believe it is one of the core principles as you read through the pages of the New Testament, really the whole of the Bible, that selflessness is to be developing within the heart of the Christian, within the heart of the individual. That so much of sin that's spoken against, so much of the fruit of the Spirit that's encouraged and spoken about revolves around that idea of putting myself out of the way and caring about others, putting God first in my life, focusing upon things other than myself oftentimes. When we think about the foundational principles on the Sermon on the Mount, even Jesus begins there with those principles. Matthew chapter 5, as the people gather around Jesus and they expect him to open his mouth and begin to tell them words that are going to make them great. I suggest to you they're thinking that Jesus has come as a physical deliverer to them. He's going to make us great. He's going to bring us back to the golden age of Israel as it was in the days of David and Solomon. So what is it this man is going to tell us that now we can go forth and we can be this great people? And he sits and he opens his mouth and he begins to tell them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That's not what we expected you to say. "Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the ones that hunger and thirst after righteousness." Jesus starts talking about humility. He starts talking about selflessness. Starts talking about promoting God and others in our lives rather than the self. So what is the problem when we focus too much on ourselves? I think we have a great example of that here in Luke chapter 12. Jesus gives this parable of one who is focusing upon himself to the neglect of many other things and the destruction that it ultimately is going to bring in his life. I want you to see how these traits are reflected not just in our world, but also there's a caution there. A caution for ourselves as we think about how these traits sometimes can be shown even in our own lives. Because number one, when we focus upon ourselves, we are removing a focus from God. We're shifting away from thinking about what does God want of me? What does He consider as important? As you read through this parable about this man who has been successful, you begin to realize here is one who never once has taken consideration. What does God want me to do with the blessings that have been poured out in my life? In fact, the text is going to tell us that he reasoned within himself. He thought only to himself. What shall I do? In short, this man left God out of his life, at least in a practical way. Because when the decisions and the choices of life and how he would live and how he would conduct himself with the things that he had been entrusted with, God seems to be nowhere in the picture. He didn't ask God, what would you have me to do with these things? He didn't thank God for the things that had been given unto him. It reminds me of the warning we're given in James chapter 4. That tells us to reason and keep God in our plans and keep God in our focus rather than focusing upon ourselves. In James 4, beginning in verse 13, he says, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For I ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. James is reminding us of a principle that goes back on all the pages of the Bible. Men lived and men died. From the time that Adam and Eve were ejected from the garden, man began to die upon the face of the earth. And you go through those books, and you deal with the generations, and you notice how often it says that they lived, and they begot sons, and they died. And James is reminding us the same thing. You don't know what this life consists of. We as, in a sense, insignificant creatures. We make plans and purposes and we think and we scheme. And we forget the very fact this life is short. It's as a vapor. It's as the morning dew that appears for a little time and as soon as the sun is up, it quickly vanishes away. It's gone. You don't know and you have no control over what will happen from one moment to the next. There's a fine line between planning and proper stewardship and just simply following our own way. James says, you've made all of these plans on what I'm going to do and what I'm going to accomplish, what I'm going to purpose. And you forgot these things may never come to pass. The rich man in the parable of Luke 12 was reminded of that as he said, oh, you've made all your plans on what you're going to do. But this night, thy soul will be required of thee. None of those plans will come to pass. You see, he gave no indication that he would consider God. He gave no indication of the idea here, if the Lord wills. The whole idea that we have to plan with God in mind. Put him at the center of our thinking, at the center of our lives. So many people get caught up in what they want to do and what they want to accomplish, and they never stop and consider, what is God's will? How does he want me to live? What does he want me to do? What is going to bring him honor and glory, as we're instructed in Matthew 5 and verse 16, to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That ought to be the intent and the purpose of our lives. I want to bring him honor. I want to bring him glory. And that's going to start by putting him at the center and the focus of our lives. But when we focus upon ourselves, we remove that focus from God. Are we a people that pray without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. They're consistent and purposeful in our prayer. And as the choices and decisions of the day and of our lives come up, we're going to God in prayer and considering his will. Or are we just simply doing whatever it is that feels good to us? This man removed his focus off of God and focused on himself. Along with that same concept, then we see the idea that there was no thankfulness towards God. God is the very one who had blessed him in his life and allowed the opportunities and the blessings of the things that had come along, but there's no appreciation for what has occurred. There's no appreciation that God is the one who has poured out blessings on this life. Oh yes, I have no doubt it was because of this man's hard work. Oh yes, I have no doubt that he went and he tilled and he planted and he watered and he purposed for these crops, but he failed to recognize that he was richly blessed. We think about what James tells us in James 1 in verse 17. That every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. To stop and remember, what have we brought into this world? We brought nothing. And as Paul would tell Timothy, it's also certain we will take nothing out. God has given us all things that we enjoy. How are we using them? This man thought to enjoy all of these things, but he didn't take the time and he didn't take the purpose to thank God for that which he had been given. It's really no surprise to me when you consider warnings of unfaithfulness that oftentimes, warnings against unfaithfulness that ingratitude appears within those lists. Consider Romans chapter 1, and you have a chapter here about the Gentiles who have turned away from God and not honored and not glorified him. And what was part of the problem? Romans 1 and verse 21, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. In fact, if you go on into verse 22 and verse 23, they professed themselves to be wise and they became fools. How did they show their foolishness? Verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. What did they do? They carved and shaped idols out of the things that God had given them, and they bowed before them and said, "Thank you for all that you gave me." You took what God gave you and you shaped it. You turned it into your God and you thanked it for what he had done for you. In gratitude. Is it any surprise they turned away from God and followed their own lusts? Followed their own desires? Paul, as he's writing unto Timothy let me make sure I get my Timothys right. I'm going to tell you 2 Timothy chapter 3. I might correct myself here in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You consider those first five verses. Paul has given unto Timothy this warning that in the last days, perilous times will come. Why? Why is it going to grow into such times? Because in verse 2 he says that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boastful. They desire for themselves all of these things. So covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And he says unthankful. They have grown unthankful for the things that God has done for them as they seek to heap up all of these possessions unto themselves. In fact, he says in verse 4 that they become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. in gratitude for what God had given to them. And we see that in the life of that rich man of Luke chapter 12. We're told in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 to continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Oh, be ready always to go into God in prayer and to tell Him of our needs, of our petitions. But be just as thankful to be thankful. Be just as ready to be thankful. To thank Him for the things that He has done and for the things that He has given unto us. If we let that progress, we can get to be where we are thankful for absolutely nothing in our lives. In fact, I think we get to where we see a society all around us. We think that we are entitled to everything that we have, and that I have nothing for which to be thankful for because I deserved it all. This man showed that kind of attitude. When we lose a focus on God, we are often going to do it because we're unthankful, because we have shifted that focus to ourselves. And oftentimes as well, when we shift that focus to ourselves instead of God, we're not trusting in Him. We're not showing that dependence that we ought to have on Him. Who is it that's provided for all of the things that we enjoy in life? What have we created? What have we given to ourselves? Absolutely nothing. We didn't make the air that we breathe. We couldn't make the ground that brought forth the fruits and the vegetables and the produce and the things that he had been able to grow his wealth with. And so he was not thankful for these things, and he was not trusting in God. Instead, he was going to trust in himself. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns so that I can spend the rest of my days in luxury. I'll provide for my own needs and my own necessities. And he's no longer trusting in God. He's not looking to God to bless him with what he needs. He said, I have it all. I have it all already. In a time in which we live, many of us live in great luxury. Oh, sure, there's maybe things that we're still trying to achieve or do, or we might be able to say, well, I don't have X, I don't have Y. Oh, that's certain, but we still live in a great luxury compared to most of the world. In fact, most of the time periods, if you go back in history, that men have lived in. We have an abundance of possessions. We have an abundance of food. We rarely have to worry too much about where the next things of life are going to come from. And it's easy to grow that same attitude that says, I have everything that I need. And we forget that God is the one who has provided for us. In fact, Jesus is going to go on in this same, shortly after this same parable, beginning there in verse 22. And he says, I say therefore to you, take no thought for your life, what shall you eat, neither for the body, what shall you put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You see, he knows all of these things. He drops down into verse 30 and 31, and he says, after all these things, do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth you have need of these things. Seek first, or seek ye the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added unto you. Where's your priority? Are you seeking after God? Are you relying upon Him to provide for the things that you need in life? Are you trusting in Him as a God? As a provider? As the one who has made all things? As the one who truly has blessed us? Timothy would also be written unto, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul would say, of those who are wealthy, of who are rich in this world, charge them that they be not high-minded and trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. You have some possessions, you have some things of which you can live, that's great, but don't forget God. And don't forget to trust in Him who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. As we look here, we see that when we focus upon ourselves, it's easy to lose focus on God. Jesus clearly identified the sin here. As you go back into verse 15, take heed, beware of covetousness, of looking to the things of this life and my wants and my so-called needs and my desires. The possessions of this world became his need. And as he focused on himself, he lost focus on God. And so the selfish person indicates a lack of trust in God, a lack of thankfulness towards God, and a lack of considering God's will. It's easy to look around in the world and see we have a lot of people that don't consider God. They're more focused on themselves and what they can gain than in trusting in God. But we also have to have a caution for ourselves. I can do the same. Even as a Christian that's striving to follow God, be careful where we turn our focus. Because number two, if we focus on ourselves, we also remove focus from others. As you look at this man of Luke chapter 12, this rich man who has flourished in his life, who does he think about? Well, look at what I have. Look at everything that I have provided for myself. Read those verses and ask yourself the question. Where does he show any liberality towards others? Where does he say, I'm going to help the poor? Where does he say, I'm going to help those who don't have as much? Where does he say, I'm going to help those who have fallen upon hard times? Instead, he hoards his possessions and he says, I'm going to live well off, and never considers those who live around him. As you read through here, notice how many times he refers to himself, how many times he refers to I. This is what I will do. This is how I will live. This is what I have. It never considers others that are around him. Going back to Paul's instruction there in 1 Timothy 6, how are the rich to live? That they do good. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The idea there, sharing with others who have need. You've been richly blessed, but will you show those blessings unto others? Will you glorify God in the things that you do with what he has given you? If we focus on ourselves, on the me, I leave little room to consider others. I want to get all the money that I can get, regardless of who I have to step over to get there. Regardless of the needs of others that are around me. Maybe I want all the attention. I want all the praise. I want to be noticed all of the time. I want people to come and talk to me. Instead of me focusing on what will I also do for others. Because there are others who have the same and sometimes greater needs that we do. But I don't see that. And I don't help that because I'm concentrated on myself. Such a mindset is in direct opposition to the Christian life and how we ought to live. Consider the great examples that Paul would bring forth in Philippians chapter 2. And he starts with the greatest example of all in Jesus. He's going to go on, he'll talk about Timothy, and he'll talk about Epaphroditus, men who gave their lives for the service of others. But it starts with a great example of Jesus. And he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Where are you focused? If we're focused so much on ourselves, do we notice those who are around us who have needs? You consider the life of Jesus and what he did. He came from heaven. He gave up the glorious wonders of that home with his Father. And he came to the earth to suffer and to die for us. And yet, what did he do in his time here? He taught us how to live. He gave us and equipped us with the things that we need. And he went about constantly doing good. He noticed the ailments and the sicknesses of others and he tended to them. He had a heart of compassion. And Paul is going to turn there in verse 5 of Philippians 2. And he said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You imitate what you see in him of his mindset. He didn't put himself first, but he humbled himself. Even humbled himself unto the death of the cross that he might die for you and me. Did he do it for his honor and his glory? You do it for me. It was a focus on others. This year we've been focusing on evangelism. That's a mindset that says I have to stop thinking just about myself and realize there's also a lost and dying world that still is all around me. There are people that still need to hear the great news of the gospel, even as I enjoy its blessings and its benefits, that they can enjoy the same things as well. Are we looking to others that are about us? Or are we focused only on ourselves? There's a lost and a dying world that surrounds us. There are those who constantly surround us that have needs, that are going through medical hardships, that are going through financial hardships, that are going through struggles in their families, that sometimes just need someone to listen to. Are we paying any attention to others? Or are we focusing solely upon ourselves? You see, there's a great caution. When we focus on ourselves, we lose focus on God. We lose focus on others. And finally, number three, I'm going to suggest to you that we remove our focus from eternity. When we're concentrated on ourselves and the things of this life, it causes us to be short-sighted. It causes us to focus on the things of a physical and a temporary nature. The things of this life that will last but for a moment, that are not guaranteed, as we saw in James chapter 4, verse 13 and following. They're here for a moment and then vanish away. We put our confidence in those things. A person who's concentrated on themselves, typically interested in what they desire, not what God desires for them, not what God desires from them, not on their spiritual state, but on the things of the right here and the right now. What brings me pleasure? What brings me safety? What brings me some measure of hope? But it's a short-term hope. Peter addressed it as one who is blind and cannot see afar off. 2 Peter 1, verse 9. After you have those Christian graces, and he says, if you stay focused on these things, you shall never fall. But if you lose focus on the spiritual life, you are short-sighted. You can only see those things that are right here in front of you, and you cannot see afar off. We forget about the eternal life that one day we're going to spend either with God or separated from God. If we lose focus on growing spiritually and being what God would have us to be, then we are blind. We are so short-sighted that we are blind. Think about, for a moment, the parable of the sower. Isn't that what happened there with at least two of the soils? The one never cared about the things of God. That wayside soil that was trampled and the seed never would even penetrate and it was quickly stolen away. They never cared about the things of God. But the rocky and the thorny soil both receive the seed, which is the Word of God. They took it for a while. They allowed it to begin to work. But both of them lost focus. Both of them removed their eyes from the things of eternity. Matthew 13 and verse 21, that stony or that rocky soil. Well, it was the tribulation and the persecution of life that arose because of the Word. And he fell away. He never brought forth fruit in his life. He focused on the things that were happening around him. The short-term, temporary, physical problems of life. And he let those things distract him from that which was eternal. And the very next verse, Matthew 13 and verse 22, you have that thorny soil. And he says, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Everything that's going on in life and chasing after the next dollar and the things that are going to provide for happiness here, and he forgot about eternal life, so that he too fell away and became unfruitful. Paul gives us the solution to that in Colossians chapter 3. If, really the idea of since, he's writing to these Christian brethren, since you are risen with Christ, since you have that hope in Him, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, not on the things of this earth. How easy is it to let this life distract us from all of those things that are far more important, far more lasting, of a spiritual and an eternal nature. And so Paul is continually reminding the Christian, keep your focus on things that last, not on the things of this world. Follow examples such as Moses in Hebrews 11 and verse 25, who is willing to endure the sufferings and the hardships of this life rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, I could have lived it up in Pharaoh's household and in Egypt, but I gave it all up to be with the people of God and to try to help them. He first tried to do it his own way, and he failed. Finally, 40 years later, at the age of 80, Now God's ready to use you. Go back and deliver my people. Moses was willing to suffer and do that which was right and do that which was good. What about ourselves? Will we focus on those things that are eternal? Remember the setting of Luke chapter 12. Why did he state this parable? Jesus has been teaching what? Concerning spiritual things. I want to give you life. I want to give you hope. I want to give you the abundant life, both here and in eternity. All these good things are going on. And some man comes up to you and says, Jesus, tell my brother to give me my half of the inheritance. What do I care about the physical things of this life? About covetousness. That's exactly what it was. You cared only for the money of this life, and you missed the whole point of what Jesus was teaching and preaching about. You missed the whole point of why he was here. You had more interest in the physical money of this life than eternal souls, including your own. That was the danger that this man had fallen into. You drop down in about verse 33 and 34 of Luke chapter 12, and there's going to be a reminder there of what's really important. What's going to really last? There he gave the instruction, sell what you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that fail not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where are you really storing up? Is it the physical possessions of life that consumes your focus and interest? Or is it laying up a spiritual treasure, an eternal home that cannot be taken from us? It's not going to corrupt like the physical things of this life. It can't be taken away like the things of this life can be. Don't focus on the here and now, but eternity. And so Paul again says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19, store up a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Those who are rich, let them care more about the spiritual and lasting things of this life than the temporary. And so we look and you consider when we focus so much on ourselves, we remove a focus from God. We remove a focus from others. We remove a focus from eternity. As you think about those things, challenge yourself. Where's my focus? What am I paying attention to? Jesus clearly tells us it can't be on us. Back up just a few chapters in Luke chapter 9, and you're going to be reminded there in verse 23 through 25 as he says to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. That's how he wants us to live. You keep following after Jesus. You keep that focus on things that are spiritual and eternal. Why? Because in verse 24, whosoever will save his life will lose it. You become interested only in the physical life, your spiritual life will be lost. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You give of yourself that you follow after me. You live as Jesus would have us to live. We walk according to his will. You gain an eternal life with God in heaven. Something far greater. For verse 25, what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Isn't that where the rich man messed up? That he focused on this life. He focused on himself, on what he had, on what he could gain, on what he could do with all that he had. He forgot God. He forgot others. And he forgot that which was most important. He forgot eternity. Yes, the world around us will tell you it's all about you. But Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow after me. Oh, there's a lot of rich lessons that we can learn, but hopefully we can challenge ourselves. Where am I looking? What am I trusting in? What am I focused on? What about yourself this morning? As we consider these lessons, hopefully we turn a magnifying glass, not just on the world that's around us that needs to hear these lessons, but we turn it upon ourselves as well. We ask ourselves, am I walking faithfully in Jesus Christ? If not, I don't enjoy those spiritual blessings. I don't have a hope that I can look forward to. But just like those of the first century that heard the gospel and they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, they were baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins. We see that pattern beginning there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Oh, the good news that yes, there is a Savior who has died for you, that has shed His blood for you, but He did it that you might have hope. And He calls upon you now to follow after Him. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7 and verse 21. As they began to carry that out there in Acts 2 and so many other examples through the book, we see how those of the first century obtained eternal life. As they're baptized into Christ, those sins are washed away. That old man has died. They rise again as a new creature, walking in newness of life. The Lord adds them to the church, the body of Christ that He promised to save. We can have that same hope today if we'll remove the focus off of ourselves and begin following after God. Maybe we're challenged. Maybe the focus has shifted back to us in our lives. We've lost focus on God. We've lost focus on others. We've lost focus on eternity. And as a child of God, we need to come home. Thankful for that second law of pardon where God is still faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ can continue to cleanse us from our sins. 1 John 1, verse 7 and 9. We'll come and confess those faults before God. We can even ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us, encourage us, support us. He's faithful and just to forgive us. We can continue walking faithfully with Him. Perhaps all of us can be challenged in our lives. Where am I focused? And can I shift that focus away from myself and back out to where it ought to be in my life? Whatever that need is, if there's something we could help you with this morning, would you let it be known? Come as together we stand, as we sing.